This is great. And I have a fan blowing on me.
Feel like you're at the beach, huh?
Oh, it feels so good. I could just stay here for 2 hours. And I think we will. I think we'll just... Anyway, I'm Rusty Corum. This is Brandon Pendleton.
Hello.
We're going to be doing this series together. We had talked about doing something like this for a good while. And so we finally get to. It's been a little while. When Stacy came up with the idea of using the Switchfoot song as a kind of a framework for this. Now, the Bible is always going to be our foundation, but this song, Switchfoot, it's a band of Christian performers. They try not to call themselves a Christian band because that feels like it was very limiting, but they're definitely influenced by God's Word, and I really have liked it. So when she pitched it to us, we both bought into it. And we've been talking about this for a while, and one of the things we decided was that we wanted to work together and start this off by giving you an idea of what's been going on with us, like how are we approaching this series. There's a passage in the Old Testament. This is in Ezra 7:10. Ezra was a key leader in God's kingdom at the time, and it said this. It says, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. The pattern there is for anyone that's going to be a teacher or a leader is to find out what's true, apply it in your life, and then you can teach others. The pattern that I think we have that we're seeing happen a lot in our country is that we're exposed to a lot of big ideas and opinions by personalities, people with all kind of charisma. Whether or not what they're saying is grounded in what's true is another story. We really like how we feel. You know, if something feels good, it must be right. And we've really got to be careful. I think that's one of the reasons why being vitally connected to a local church is important, because you can get to know those that are teaching and find out, are they living it themselves? Is there accountability for them? We've seen a lot of people recently in leadership that have fallen and have gotten into all kind of messes. And part of that is there wasn't any accountability in their life. You and I need to listen to all kind of opinions and all that, but God's Word needs to be the focal point for what we grab hold of. And so I just think it's important to find out that where we're getting our information is coming from sources that are not perfect by any stretch, or Brandon and I couldn't be here, but at least are moving in that direction and are really trying to learn and apply it and then teach it. So, and another thing too is it's just hard to know about character unless you're just around people. So anyway, that's what we're doing. So you're going to get an idea of where we're coming from. You may decide to tune this out. You say, who needs that? I'm going to kind of find another church. There's some great churches in the area. But this is you know, kind of what you get. So Brandon and I are going to start. I'm going to pray, and then we'll dig in together. God, I thank you that in a world that is full of all kind of we'll call them opportunities, but challenges and issues and stressors, that you are a constant. You never freak out over the things that are going on. You're never surprised. You're never shocked. You are always available to us if we will humble ourselves and choose to follow. So I pray that not just what we communicate, but how Brandon and I do today would be an encouragement and a help and a fit beginning to this series. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. So good morning. As Rusty said, I'm Brandon. For those who are not familiar with me, I am a partner here at New Hope as well. I've served in different capacities. I serve on the leadership team here as well as on the teaching team, in addition to some of the other ministries here within student ministry at one time, as well as the sound and production team. So it's really great to be here and to kind of be able to build like this. I was telling Rusty, it's been a while since I've since I've been in this seat or in this position, so I'm gonna try to knock off a little bit of rust. So if y'all be so gracious and kind, I appreciate that. And if you have any complaints, just send it to rusty.com. Yeah, this is interesting because, you know, starting off and sharing my testimony of just where I have been these past 24 to 36 months, it's been hard to put it in a word. Been very hard, especially as a follower of Jesus. You know, giving my life to the Lord at age 11, and you know, learning what it is that this as Scripture says, this life costs you. It costs us our life. We're going to face different trials and tribulations on this earth and different things that will stretch our faith. And sure enough, I've definitely felt like that at various times. And I'm sure, you know, other folks, you know, have felt the same way. You know, in 2020, we experienced a situation that wasn't unique to me. We experienced a pandemic, and that rocked the world. It rocked my world. It rocked being a parent of young kids. It rocked our world, my wife and I seeing our kids looking to us for direction in a world of so much uncertainty and heightened level of fear and concern. It was hard. Being an African-American male, you know, the climate of our country at that time, and, you know, even sometimes that were before that, and was concerning. And it was hard, it was scary, it was frustrating, it was painful. And again, all being a Christian, being in a situation where we have family health issues happening to where we're trying to posture ourselves where we can be a better help to our parents who are getting older. What does that look like in this phase of life? It's hard. In a situation where your son, you know, early on in the pandemic, our son was diagnosed with Asperger's and ADHD, and so that set a new course in the family of how do we support him in that world. It's hard. I had just joined a new company, and for the first time in my career, I received feedback that just told me that I was ineffective and I couldn't meet the standards, and it was just frustrating. So all of this is happening at one time and early on in the pandemic with me, and I'm like, gosh, God, this is crazy. And I'll be honest, you know, I fell into the, you know, out of curiosity, out of being anxious, out of being just in my own humanity, you know, I'm consuming news and all these different things just to kind of get a status of what's going on and in perspective, and ultimately ended up more frustrated, more concerned, more afraid, and more drained than anything in those moments. It's hard. And so in moments in my walk with God, what I've always tried to do is just be real with God and say, look, Lord, I am one of the many people that you have reached from the biblical context, actually reading biblical stories to now. You are the same God who is all-powerful, all-knowing. I just need something from you that lets me know that you see me in this moment and that you are feeling where I'm at, because this is hard. And so one of my favorite books in the Bible is Hebrews. And I remember reading Hebrews chapter 12, and it's not in your notes, but if you can just bear with me here, I want to read a couple of scriptures here for you. Hebrews 12:1, starting here, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging word God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. As you endure the divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by its father? And it was weird because emotionally that just resonated with me. But I couldn't figure out what it was. And so one of the things that quickly through prayer and I felt like, and just walking with Jesus, God's enabled us with the Holy Spirit. And I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart, turn off all the noise. Silence all the social media, disconnect, and focus and pray. And in that process, I began to really realize that there was a lot that was affecting me, but I wasn't allowing the one to affect me. And as that scripture said there, fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, or the author and perfecter of my faith. As I fixed my eyes on Jesus, as in the scripture as I read, what was funny was I then began to get the Lord's correction on where I need to shift my focus and the things I needed to do. And it was humbling. It was hard. So one of the things that he had kind of quickly taken me to was Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And I was like, okay, thank you. But what does this mean? And I'm sure some of you have heard this before, the whole aspect of the battlefield of the mind. But God was really speaking to my heart. I got to get to your mind. Your thinking is wrong. And I'm like, well, where are my thoughts wrong? Because God, I feel like with the pandemic, I'm not doing a lot of the stuff that I was doing. So he started there with me. He was like, glad you brought that up. And so in the words of the great theologian Denzel Washington, during one of his speeches he was giving at a graduation commencement, and by the way, to all our graduates, congratulations to you, to the families as well, across the board, outstanding achievement. But one of the things that he said during his speeches, Denzel Washington said to the folks, was, don't confuse movement with progress. And I was like, okay, God, what do you mean by that? By that statement from that dude resonated with me as it relates to what you're showing me in scripture. What does all this mean? He said, Brandon, your thinking is that the fact that you were involved in all this stuff, that you were really making an impact. You were doing great stuff by being involved at church. Your wife is an entrepreneur, supporting her business, doing all these great things. You were like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my calling. And he's like, man, that couldn't be so far from the truth. He said, your contribution for that season was just for that, for a season. And the thing is, you became so bought into these things to where now that the world is shut down, you feel like you don't know what to do with yourself. He said, that's problematic. And so then, I love the song by the worship team, You Have Called Me Higher, You Have Called Me Deeper, and I will go where you will lead me, Lord. And I like that one part of the verse where it says, I can just hold on and never let you change me from the inside. I can make that mistake and just stay in that space after God revealed to me, hey, man, all this stuff you were involved in really wasn't what you're supposed to be doing. And what I love about God is that he has called me deeper in the fact that God always deals with issues at the root. He's not about just dealing with all these different symptoms and things. He's like, these are indicative of that. There's something deeper going on with you, son, that I need to get your attention on. So what was that? And I'm so thankful for our Celebrate Recovery folks, because this is the first time I ever heard the term codependency. First time. And I was like, what is this? And so that, it resonated with me when I heard it. And so when I started learning about codependent behaviors, God was like, that's the root for you, son, in all of this. You have a codependent connection to all these people, which is unhealthy for you. So throughout this whole 24 to 36 months, honestly, to this date of me being here with you all, God has been working with me in this area. He has created amazing opportunities. He's shown me ways, opportunities for me to work on it, and he's shown me ways in my life and in my journey, in my career, that even some of the negative feedback that I received, that to a degree there was an element of truth, and a lot of that truth was related to this core issue with me. So got into counseling, working on mentally, getting healthy. That's the other point I want to make. The importance of getting healthy, removing certain things from my life that are really blocking me from being all that God is calling me higher to. And that is a call, I believe, that's not unique to me. I believe that's a call that's unique to all of us as followers of Jesus. And again, I want to stress unique, because what I'm called to do is not necessarily what Rusty's called to do, which not necessarily what your family, your friends are called to do, but it's important for us as family in Christ to understand those differences and to support and challenge each other to let God do his perfect work in us to grow. And so with that, sir, man, I toss it to you.
Man. So we divided this up. We wanted you to hear where each of us is coming from. And I thought a lot about it. And I want to give you a statement and then read a passage that sets the stage for me. Is God is more interested in my development than my comfort. I'm afraid if you analyze a lot of my prayer, it's trying to get God to make my life more comfortable. He's not that interested in that. To be developed and to grow and mature, if it was easy, everybody would be so far advanced. Here's a passage that really helps with this. It's Philippians 2. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with a deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. I'm going to walk through this real quickly, too. It says to work hard to show the results of your salvation. We don't work hard to get saved or get right with God. But if I am in a relationship with him, if I have accepted Jesus, there are going to be some indicators of that. There will be proof that I really do have a relationship with him, and that's going to be those changes, like you mentioned, from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And it says, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Obedience is the evidence that I'm following, not to earn anything, but to show that it's there. It says, for God is working in you to give you a desire and the power to do what pleases him. The moment I become a follower, Brandon, I think you indicated that, it's like, I'm going to become uncomfortable when I'm making compromises. Now, I can numb myself, I can hide from it and all that, but God in his Holy Spirit is working to help me have a desire to do what's right, and he's given me the power to live this new life. I don't have to live in fear of what's inside. I can actually address it now with his help. Do everything without complaining and arguing. We could do a whole series on that. Before the 9 o'clock service, I was talking to someone. I said, how are you doing? He goes, I got no complaints. And I'm thinking, the only American right now that has no complaints. We're used to it. We actually feel like I'm justified to whine and complain. And it says here, if I'm following Jesus, that I need to avoid that. I need to train my mind in a different direction. It says, so that no one can criticize you. It does not mean that we're not going to be criticized. It means that they don't have basis for that criticism. That I'm not giving fuel for the critiquing fire. We need to live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, of which I am one. And I need to recognize that if I move away from Jesus, being crooked and perverse is my natural go-to. It's not they are crooked and perverse. We all are without Jesus coming into our life. So this is critical. As I was thinking about what I was going to talk about, you know, when COVID began March of 2020, it was no one expected what was going to happen. We were caught off guard. You know, the duration, the severity of it, even the experts. And we love critiquing the experts, but they were caught off guard with this too. And just like other churches, New Hope was thrust into decision making. You know, what are we going to do about our meeting together? What's legal otherwise? What are we going to do with our preschool? What do we do with our before and after school program, our summer camp? all these decisions that we make impact a number of people. Do we close? Do we open? What about sanitation? And the rules for sanitation changed about every 3 hours. Masking or no masking? Do masks really work? I remember one Sunday I was here once we had reopened, and I had this fan blowing. And all of a sudden, someone came up and unplugged it. And I thought, well, that's rude. Then I realized, well, if I'm spraying particles, the last thing anyone needs is for me to baptize them with my spew. Baptizing with my spew. Shouldn't have said it. Too late. Vaccinations. Do you vax or not? Are there really nanoparticles that are going to go into me and cause me to glow in the dark, or they're going to trap me? What is going on with all this stuff? During the same time of when people are more isolated than ever, then we have all the kind of tension going on in our country, especially with racial injustice issues. And what happens then is we have this political season that is still going on, and so all these issues get weaponized for political gain. And so we're stuck with it, and that's why the whole thing of, you know, the average American spends 3.5 hours a day in social media. We need to be careful because it ends up feeding my thinking. And as leaders here, me and the rest of our team here, we really struggle with a lot of this. You know, what are we going to do? And, during the same time, I also faced prostate cancer. I'd had cancer. It was, and we were kind of watching and waiting. It came back pretty heavy. I ended up having surgery. I'm a year clean now, so I don't. Apparently, that's all worked out. That was so much easier than everything else. Those of you that are in any kind of leadership, you understand just how hard it's been when you're faced with an onslaught of criticism, no matter what you do. Some of it's maybe helpful, but a lot of it came with judgment. A lot of it came with ghosting. People don't like it, and they're gone, and they don't say a word. We made COVID decisions here, and I have people say, well, you're making those decisions because you're afraid, and others because you're arrogant. I know it's happened to me, I've been accused of being on the far, far right and the far, far left. How do you do that? It's a matter of perspective. You know, well, that obviously this is what you're thinking here. We made some racial. In fact, there are probably some people thinking, well, Rusty has Brandon here. By the way, he's black. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, man, thank you.
I mean, we've had people accuse us of pandering to just to look like we're cool or we're getting. I mean, there's all this kind of stuff has happened. And I encourage you, we've never spoken in favor of or against any particular party or political personality. We have at times spoken about issues that the Bible speaks about clearly. Unapologetically, we've done that. A recent study by Barna says 50% of pastors in the United States do not talk about any issues that have political, any kind of ramifications this way because they don't want to lose their job, they don't want to get people upset. I think there's something wrong there. It's not that you're going around making people upset, but if the Bible speaks to something, we ought to be informed about it. And there's a reason that they're also saying that maybe 1 in 5 churches in the U.S. eventually will close, brought on in a lot by all the fallout from the past several months, 28 months. Criticism is normal if you're in a leadership position. Colin Powell, the great theologian Colin Powell said one time, if someone's not mad at you, you're not leading. And I think that there's truth to that. I mean, criticism is not bad. It's the ghosting behind it. It's when people criticize you, but they never come to you and talk to you about it. They just evaporate. This has been really, really hard during these past 2-plus years. My tendency is when someone leaves, as I usually don't do a lot about it, but I made an exception. A while back, there was a family that left, and the reason I found out they left is they had contacted someone in our office and said, take us off all your roles and all your mains. We're not going to be part of New Hope anymore. A family that I thought I was pretty close with, that we had weathered a lot of things together and walked through some hard times, and I made the decision, I prayed about it, and I called this guy. I said, I heard you left. Can we get together and talk? And we did. We met for coffee. And early in the conversation, this is what he said. Rusty, you're a pretty good guy. You must be under a lot of pressure. So a lot of these decisions you've made, I know they're not really how you think, but you've had pressure to do it, and you're just kind of going along to make peace. I did not throw any coffee, but I made it very clear. I said, you misunderstand me. I believe this is accurate. I've never made a decision here just to keep peace or because I've got anyone pressuring me. You can talk to our leadership team. You can talk to our staff. That's not the dynamic that we have here. But I think he was doing it because he was just trying to come up some way to justify leaving and being silent. And it really bothered me. Bothered me quite a bit that could leave with never saying a word, never saying, can we talk about it? Let me understand, where are you coming from this? I have another friend, very close friend, had a problem with something I had said one weekend. And we met together. We sat down in my office and we had I'll call it a robust discussion. It was genuine, it was real, it was speaking the truth in love, but he had a problem with something and he said, I need to bring this up. And we are still friends to this day. We don't agree on everything, but we're able to talk it through and disagree without it being detrimental or this ugly kind of, I'm taking my Bible and going home kind of thing. Jesus Church we just need to act differently. I am not a perfect leader. I could make a long list that I will not write now of ways that I've failed. But I will tell you this, I love Jesus Church and I love New Hope and I'm not here to make anybody happy. I really believe I'm here. I'm hoping to make him happy. And I've told the leadership team, and I'm going to tell you all again today when we have our lunch today, is that if I ever get in the way of that, I need to be put out to pasture. But until then, we've got work to do and it's too valuable and too important for us just to get our feelings hurt and leave and split and just write people off. I mean, there's something about working through things that should be part of Jesus Church. And I'm mentioning this because I realized in me there's this tendency, if I'm not careful, to just say, well, I'm not going to let what you did bother me. You ghost me, to heaven with you. Literally. And I've realized that what will happen is I can end up getting a stone cold heart, and that does not honor Jesus. Taking it, okay, take it, but do something right with it. Pray for the people that bail without a word. Don't move into this judging them or coming up to conclusions. I mean, there's something about that God is really working at me on it, so my heart doesn't become distant, cold, or protective. And that's my last point, and I'll close with this. There are no shortcuts to gaining spiritual maturity. There is no fast track. There's no 1, 2, 3 easy steps to this. Listen to what it says in James. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity to legitimately whine and complain. Because you're Americans. No. An opportunity of great joy. Not because we're masochists, not because we enjoy pain and suffering. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In this series, our intention is, Brandon and I both, we've talked about this for quite a while, we want it to be where we're growing and developing, we're letting God have free access to us. What is he saying to us? And we're inviting you to do the same thing. Inviting you to be a part of this series every weekend. If you miss one, you can get online, you can watch it on demand. But there's a take-home sheet to get that and actually do your homework with it. God, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to do in response to who you are and what you offer? Because if you and I do that, we are in a perfect position in our culture to make an impact and a real healthy difference. If we're unwilling to do that, then we're going to miss the opportunity. We'll dishonor our Savior. And we'll be misleading people all around. People need to see something good, something real, something genuine, something hopeful. And that's our intent as we walk through this together. So I hope you'll join us and be a part of it. Anything you want to close with? Let's pray. God, it's so clear that you are constantly at work. And you're not interested, just like Brandon said, you're not interested in not just being busy or just in movement. You want us to have real progress in moving towards you, toward a relationship with you that's real and genuine, and a relationship with each other where we are building those kind of friendships and the kind of love that has got substance to it. For anyone here that doesn't yet know you, I pray that they will be intrigued, they'll be challenged, they'll be motivated to want to find out more about you and what you can do. And God, for those of us that do know you, we have got work to do. And it's work that starts inside of us where you have free reign over us. I pray that you would show us where we're holding back or where we have areas that we've closed off in our lives, and that you would help us to have the courage and the desire to open those doors and to take a good, hard look in the light of truth so that we can be your men and your women on mission here to help others find you and to fall in love with you. Help us to settle for nothing less than moving forward with you well. In Christ's name, amen.